Good evening. Hello. Are you still there? Well, this is my second time in America. I've been here last 2004. Well, this is my dream that I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to see Brother Lawrence once again. I saw him last 2004. Well, this afternoon I would like to give a short testimony before I preach. My subject for tonight is reason why I love the doctrine of grace. But before that, I want to share my short testimony before I came to the Primitive Baptist. In 1981, I was a devoted Catholic. And then my friend invites me to a small Bible study group. And I heard, first time I heard, John 3:16 in my life. When I heard that, I feel, you know, hungry with the Word of God. I ask myself, Lord, is this true? You love me? That time, I feel there's something within. I don't know why. And I asked my friend, would you like, I like a Bible, which is New Testament in our own native language, which is Tagalog. So he gave me a Tagalog version Bible. Then when I received that, I read it morning and evening, almost all the day. And I feel satisfied that time when I read the Bible. Every week, I finish New Testament. Then most of them I memorize. Then I started to seek the true church. And I asked my friend, is there any church here? Yes, there is an evangelical church. And I joined to that evangelical church. That is my first time he immersed me before in the Catholic, you know, sprinkling. Pastor, you mean you immerse me? Yes, that's a symbol of death and burial and resurrection. So he baptized me that time. And then from 1981 to 1983, because I'm more eager to know the truth, and I was hungered for the truth. Then the pastor said, Ruddy, they call me Ruddy. Not Conrado. Ruddy, do you want to preach? I said, yes, Pastor, I want it. The first message I remember, I delivered the curse of the hidden sin. So after that, I prayed to the Lord, please, I beg your power. I beg your mercy. From 1983 to 1986, my pastor, he showed me a gift of preaching. He said, Ruddy, would you like to be my assistant pastor? That time, he was already graduated in doctors of theology. I said, yes, sir. Then I preach regularly. I prepare message every Sunday. Then one time, I read Isaiah chapter 40. It says, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Behold the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I ask myself, who is this man that prepared the way of the Lord? After 400 years, Prophet Malachi prophesied about the coming of this forerunner. He says, behold, the voice in the wilderness, crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Who is this man? I don't know this man. Who is this man? I ask myself. And after 300 years, Apostle Matthew, it says in Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. When I see that, oh no. Christ's forerunner was called by his father, the Baptist. In John chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Christ walked 60 miles to get baptism. One thing that struck me most, his Heavenly Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Lord, do we have any Baptist church here? That's my question before. Then I asked my pastor, Pastor, do you believe that the Baptist is the true church? No. He said that, no. Pastor, we have a problem. What's that, Roddy? Christ, the head of the church, was baptized by the Baptist preacher. Since baptism is following the footsteps of our Lord, how about our baptism? Where do you get your authority to baptize? Roddy, that's not important. My authority is from God. Where is that in Scripture? He said, open your Bible in Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Pastor, I have a problem. I don't see your name. I don't see your name here. Well, Roddy, sir, I told him, we need to be baptized by the Baptist preacher. We need to seek and who is the Baptist, who is the true Baptist minister. I believe that Baptist church is still existing in our days. Because he said in Matthew 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Still, Pastor, that church is still existing. We need to connect to the church. Do you know about Baptist, Pastor? I know. You studied that in your seminary. Yeah. But Baptist is, you know, very divisive people. I don't care, Pastor, as long as they are Baptist. I was hungered for the truth. I'm seeking the true church that time. And my pastor said, we have a neighbor. They are Baptists. You must go. Then I joined in an international Baptist church. They rebaptized me once again. Okay. When I saw their doctrine, I was not satisfied. I go to their seminary and I enrolled. I asked my professor, what is our difference to any other denomination? Well, as Baptists, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is our rule of faith and practice. Sir, since before I am evangelical, we believe that also. But we are not Baptists. He stopped and then, Roddy, I think that's another story. I think, Roddy, we need to set other times. I'm not satisfied with this explanation. Then I talked to my friend. Do you know some Baptists who know how to explain what is their difference? My friend said, why don't you go to Southern Baptist? Okay, where's that? You go there. Then I go there in Southern Baptist. Then we talk a lot of things. It seems to me that they are true Baptists. Then he rebaptized me again. Whoa. But when I learned their doctrine, I'm not satisfied. I'm just praying, Lord, guide me, please. Where is the true church? My other friend said, Roddy, this is it. If you want to know the truth, I know one Baptist who are very extreme in their doctrine, and maybe they will explain to you why are you Baptist. Where's that? Go to Bible Baptist. What? Bible Baptist. Then I go to Bible Baptist. Then they require me to go to their seminary. I studied there for 2 years. And I'm not satisfied with their explanation again about Baptist history and distinctive. And I started to stay in our library during that time. I gathered all the books about Baptists. And I found out, the first time I found out the word primitive Baptist in that book, written by some Armenians. You know, Armenian, right? He said, the primitive Baptist is a hard shell, straight jacket, anti-evangelism, anti-mission. I was shocked. Who is this primitive Baptist? There is another denomination again. I said to myself, one time, I saw one pastor and one worker of the church discussing about the doctrine of grace. They are Calvinists. Then I saw that worker is defeating the pastor about discussing some theological issues about election. And I said to the pastor, please, I'm the one who will defeat this person. And I'm very bold and fearless. I give to him, brother, how about John 3:16? For God so loved the world. The world. There's no elect. He said with humble spirit, he said, pastor, the word there in John 3:16 is the word of the elect. I was shocked. Huh? I think I feel defeated that time. I think, brother, I have a lot of things to do. Well, maybe see you tomorrow. Let us continue this discussion. But God knows I have no answer for his premise about that. And I started, and I kneeled down before the Lord that night. I opened my Bible from the Old up to New Testament, there's a plenty of verses about the doctrine of election. It is highly celebrated from the scripture, the doctrine of election. Oh, Lord, mercy. I have two problems now. I'm seeking for the true church and a right doctrine. Then I started seeking the church. Then, that time, I have no computer. I have no access with the computer. I asked my friend, Roddy, there is one church I believe will satisfy you. What is that? Go to a landmark missionary Baptist. I go there. Then they rebaptize me again. Another baptism. So I find myself satisfied with their doctrine about election. But during that time, my position is Calvinism. I preach a lot about election. And I don't know about spirit regeneration. But Elder Manuel Briba, Manny Briba, I think he was here last 2004 in America. He said to me, Brother Roddy, there is one man from America. He is a primitive Baptist. What? Primitive Baptist? You know, he has a small hammer and then he has a rug. Is that a primitive Baptist? No, no, no. Is he a caveman? No, 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 no. He is a primitive Baptist minister in America. Okay. That time is, I think, Wednesday, midweek service in our church. And I said, okay, please tell him that he will preach in our church tonight. Then he came in our church. And he walked like Hitler. He said, hello, Brother Quinto. My name is Gus Harder. Wow. Yeah, my name is Conrado. Please be seated, sir. Thank you. Then he stand up and preach John 3:8. He preached boldly, without fear. He exalted God. That's the first time we heard the pure message of the gospel of grace. When I saw my members, they're crying. When I saw my wife, she's crying too. I saw her embracing her Bible. She cried. And I'm really blessed. But one thing that struck me most is one missionary preacher sitting at the back. He is listening eagerly. And he wants to make sure that he will report to the missionary, landmark missionary, that event that night. When I saw him, oh, he will report me to our missionary. Then when Brother Gus finished his preaching, he shake my hand. Thank you, Brother Quinto. Would you like to say something? No, sir. I don't know, sir. What's that? I don't know, sir, if you are a blessing in our church or a curse. Well, I will pray for you, brother. And after that, tomorrow morning, the missionary visited me, the missionary, landmark missionary. He asked me, is it true, Brother Quinto, that you invited a preacher? Yes, sir. Is he a primitive Baptist? Yes, sir. What? Did you invite him? Yes, sir. We have the same doctrine. He believed in election. He believed about grace. Oh, brother, he preached about grace. Oh, how he exalt God. Oh, no, Brother Quinto, Brother Roddy. You know, listen to me, Brother Roddy. Don't join in the primitive Baptist. What, do you know why? When you go to America, the primitive Baptist there is dying. A dying church. They're hard shell. Anti-evangelism, anti-soul winning, straight jacket. They are all dying in America. What? And I said to him, sir, I think it is not true. Why? Because Elder Gasharter, he started the work there in Davao. Every week I saw with my two eyes, he baptized three. He baptized four, sometimes seven. Is that anti-evangelism? Roddy, you are a primitive Baptist. No, sir, I am a landmark Baptist. No, you are a primitive Baptist. He keep on insisting that I am a primitive Baptist. One time, when I read, I think Brother Gus left Michael Gowen's little booklet about effectual calling. When I see that, I read that, I copied. Oh, this is good. Oh, wow. Oh, then I preach it the following Sunday with boldness. I rejoiced. Then the missionary came. He sat at the back. He listened carefully about what I'm preaching. And I saw his head, wagging his head. And after service, he said, Roddy, may I have your pulpit? Yes, sir. He stand up in the pulpit and said, I heard from the beginning and up to end the sermon of your pastor. That sermon is a primitive Baptist sermon. This church, even your pastor, commit heresy. He's a heretic. He believed what primitive Baptists believe. I stand up and said, no, pastor. No, sir, I'm a landmark Baptist. No, you're a primitive Baptist. No, sir. Roddy, listen. I would like to test you for the last time. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed to preach the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Do you hear that, Roddy? This Bible is the power of God unto salvation. God used this Bible to save men from hell, going to heaven. I said, sir, I'm sorry. You need to continue reading. That verse says, to them that believe it. Sir, he is already a child of God. That's the reason why the gospel has a power. The gospel, the reason why he believes, because he is already a child of God. Ah, you're a primitive. You confirm that you are primitive. No, sir, I'm a landmark Baptist. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Through faith, it is the gift of God, not of works. It is the gift of God. Sir, our salvation is by grace. No means or instrument. Already you're a primitive Baptist. From now on, I will declare in front of your congregation. I will cut your support. Then he leave me. And then, before he leave, he said, Radhi, go to my office tomorrow. You and Sister Yolanda, your wife. When we go there in his office, all the landmark ministers are present. And they declare non-fellowship because of what I believe. Radhi, he said, one of the ministers said, Radhi, would you like to explain to us here what's your stand? I said, this is what I believe. God the Father elect without any means, he is independent when he elect the elect. God the Son died on the cross independently. God the Holy Spirit quickens. He alone and no instrument or means. And no preachers can quicken. It's only the Holy Spirit. What? That is the stand of the primitive Baptist. Then he shouted, what is the use of this? If God will not use this for eternal salvation. I said, sir, God used that book for a comfort of his people. God used this for the salvation of his people from their ignorance. They said, that is a primitive Baptist belief. You're a primitive Baptist? No. We're not primitive Baptist. I am a landmark Baptist. No. When I saw my wife, she is crying bitterly about what happened. Then she said, honey, let us leave this place. They are not our true brothers and sisters. Let us leave this place. They are not true brethren. We come out. We walk. And the missionary said, Sister Yolanda, Radhi, please wait. He wants to embrace me and my wife. My wife said, sir, we feel betrayed tonight. You humiliate us in front of these people. While we are walking, we cry. We cry bitterly. And I said to my Lord while we're walking, Lord, is this the price of my journey? When my wife heard that, she wept bitterly. While we are in the street. Then, tomorrow morning and then lunchtime, I saw my three little children eating in the dining table. I saw them eating one cup of noodles. And my eldest son said, Daddy, is this the price of your journey? Is this the price of the truth that you search? Yes, sir. And I saw the tears in their eyes. And I said, son, God will take care of you. Don't worry. When my wife heard that, she ran in her room. She wept. And she kneeled down before her God. He begged. He begged the mercy of God. God, we beg your mercy. Please, God, we beg your mercy. Mercy, God. We don't know where we go. Guide my husband. Then when we go to bed, I saw her kneeling down in front of my children who are sleeping. She laid her hands to our children. She prayed one by one. I saw her. I'm pretending to sleep. Then she kneeled down before me, and then she laid her hands to my head and said, Lord, I beg your mercy for my husband. Give him grace to keep on searching. What's the true church and its doctrine? I beg your power to this man. Please give him grace, mercy, while he is journeying and find the truth of thy holy word. When I heard that, I cried. Sunday morning, all my congregation was present that time. They filled an empty chairs. Overloaded, but we are sad because our offering was decreased that time, $4 every Sunday. We rented a place of worship. In other words, we are deficit. And then one old member said, Pastor, he stand up without fear. Pastor, if they will accuse us that we are primitive Baptists, why not we join in our primitive Baptist brethren? They shout, Amen, Pastor, Amen. Why not Amen? They shouted. Okay, I will call Brother Gus. He is now in America. And I give him a call, and he responds. He said, Hello, Roddy. What's going on? I said, Sir, can I ask one favor? Sure. What's that, Roddy? I said, Sir, would you like to baptize us? He said, Roddy, I'm coming. That day, he baptized 70 members. They are crying, weeping, and embracing each other. That time, Elder Gus Arter preached about the grace of God for almost 2 hours. And that year is 2002. I think almost 12 years old as a primitive Baptist now. We are satisfied, we are happy in this doctrine. And our church member, every time, whether rainy season or we call it summer season in the Philippines, there are only seasons in the Philippines, summer or rainy season. Then I saw my members. They want to attend church. If there is a flood, I saw them walking. The flood is here. Then they bear their clothes. And then when they come to the church, they take their bath and then they change their clothes. And after that, they change again. They need to wear their wet clothes. Then they start walking again in the flood, in order for them to attend. We love the doctrine of grace. Oh, how I love it. Now, reason why I love the doctrine of grace. When did grace start? When? When was the origin of grace? I believe the answer is it originated in the eternal heart, mind, and will of God before the foundation of the world. Since eternity past, it was the closest and dearest things in the heart of God. Grace is God's eternal heartbeat. You know, when we speak about grace, we speak about the love of God, the mercy of God, how He loved His people. Now, I love this doctrine because the very character of God is the origin and the foundation of grace. The living God is a gracious God. God the Father was a gracious Father. God the Son was a gracious Son. God the Holy Spirit is a gracious Spirit. Our grace came from the greatness of God Himself. He is majestic, He is holy, He is gracious and loving character, the supreme and all-compelling reason why I love this doctrine lie in the glory and greatness of God Himself. Psalms 96, verses 2 and 4. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Church, this is the God of the Bible, a sovereign who truly reigns, a Savior who truly saves, a shepherd who truly cares for the sheep, and the all-sufficient one who truly supplies the needs of His people. Oh, may God raise new ministers who will proclaim the majesty of God and the glory of His grace among the heathen. For the God of grace is that the God who is helpless and impotent, but a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 29. Think of eternal love of God. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This everlasting love is the bond of union, a perfect, a permanent, a powerful bond that join all His elect eternally to Jesus Christ. This love is infinite. This love is indissoluble. This love is inseparable. This love is invincible. The salvation of the elect is deeply rooted in the heart of the elector. The root and explanation of salvation is not in the elect, but in the heart, mind, and will, which is irresistible will of the elector. According to Romans chapter 9, verses 10 to 24, and chapter 11, verses 5 up to 10. Brethren, it is the profound truth that God has His elect and has redeemed himself out of every tribe, every nation, every people, and nation, and tongue, as it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and chapter 7, verse 9. That should excite, that should energize, that should energize worship and give thanks God's people to praise the sovereign God. This then is the meaning of God's all of the world. Whole world, for his love covers all continents, all colors, all countries, all classes of people, all communities of men. Since the author of the book of Revelation is John, and the epistle of John, the beloved, John 3, verse 16, should be interpreted by Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It cannot mean all without exception, for certainly there were already people in hell when Christ came to die at Calvary, and Christ did not elect all without exception. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39 makes it clear that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And if there are people whom Christ loved with an everlasting love that went to hell, then Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39 is not true. And all the verses in the Bible that speak about the drawing, the quickening power, regenerating and saving power of God's love are nullified and rendered meaningless. Oh, my brethren, I dare you to make a diligent study, careful study of God's word, and you will be convinced that God did not love all without exception, with an everlasting love, but only the elect. Second reason why I love the doctrine of grace is because the very counsel of eternity is the origin of grace. In Acts chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 says, "The work were finished from the foundation of the world." Please study the interrelatedness of these verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It is clear from these verses that the perfect blueprint of grace was finished before the foundations of the world. The wonderful result of the counsel of the Trinity is the counsel of God. The triune God, the Trinity designed, determined, and decreed all things that would take place in his creation for the good of his people. I love the doctrine of grace. Number three reason, the very covenant of God is essential to our understanding of grace. Covenant, eternal covenant. The Trinity jointly planned and purposed to give his all elect to God, the Son, God the Father promised to give all His elect to God the Son, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And God the Son promised to die for all the elect. And God the Spirit promised to quicken all that Christ died for. It is very essential that we see the interrelatedness of the work of the Trinity in salvation of His people. We have reduced the work of redemption into an anomalous and disorganized work of the Trinity. If the Father is pictured as a God who does not know who will be saved, and God the Son as one who died for no one in particular to secure nothing for sure, and God the Holy Spirit as one who does not know whom to regenerate, and the Trinity is pictured as a prostrated God who is helpless and powerless to save, surely brethren, such is not the God of grace, not God of the Bible. Away with such a disgusting theology. Let the Armenians bow down to the God they have made. We will bow down. But as for us believers of grace, we will bow down to the God who made us, the Creator of all things. He is sovereign, He is supreme, and supernaturally at work in the lives of all His elect. We will boldly proclaim everywhere that God's grace we love is invincible, irresistible, and very powerful. As the great hymn writer said, we will sing of His power to save. For the blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. May the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless us all. Thank you so much.